2 Peter chapter 2 verses, or chapter, or 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 through 9. Read with me here this evening. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, as I was looking at this passage and going before and going over it, there's a phrase that stuck out to me, and it's this phrase, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, and through the, and then you see downward farther, through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue, and in verse 8 we see in the knowledge of our Lord Lord Jesus Christ, and this thought really just as I meditated on that, I came to this thought, and I want to share that with us tonight, preach tonight, simply on this thought of knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had tonight already. Thank you for the good singing. Father, thank you for, Lord, just the opportunity we can be here and fellowship one with another and provoke unto love and good works. And God, thank you for just your word that you give us that we might know you. And so, God, I pray tonight as we look into your word, Father, you'd help us to hear that which you have for us. And Father, I pray you'd guide my speech and give me clarity of thought. And Father, that you above all things would be glorified. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This thought of the knowledge of Jesus is over and over in this passage. In verse 2, he talks about grace and peace being multiplied. How is it multiplied? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The more, you see, the more that we know of God and we know of Jesus, the more we'll have of our enjoyment of grace, and the more that peace in our life will be multiplied. Verse 3, again here he says, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How has he done that? It's, again, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto virtue and glory. Who is that that hath called us? That's the Lord Jesus. A commentator has put about that. He says, for all these things are in him, and as we know him and trust him and love him and become like him, we also come to possess all these precious things in him. So again, tonight I want us to consider this subject of knowing Jesus and the treasure that God has for us in that. First of all, I want us to consider tonight, consider the source of this knowledge. How do I know Jesus? How do I get to know the Lord Jesus? Well, first of all, there is the general revelation of God, and that's found in nature. You know, they say there's two books of God's revelation. One is nature. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse 20, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, just in creation, an honest evaluation of creation tells you this just didn't happen. The thought of evolution, the thought of this just happening, is something you have to be taught. It's something that you have to learn, to acquire. Just by nature, though, we understand there is something that made this. This didn't happen by itself. I don't care whatever level you look at. I mean, let's look at space. I mean, how many of you ever studied just or seen a presentation of outer space? I mean, we have our solar system and just we're at just the right place away from the sun and at the right tilt. And I mean, just the right condition. But there's not just our solar system. There's our galaxy, which is hard to imagine just how large and all the stars that we see in our Milky Way and the galaxy. But do you understand there's beyond that, there's billions of galaxies. There's galaxies upon galaxies all around, and just the infinite, the vastness of space and the order that's even in all that, for that to just happen would be incredible. But you look at space. But then let's go from the outer space to the microscopic world. I mean, as you look at all just even the simplest cells and the microscopic things, there was, I saw a DVD years ago about a thing called the flagellum motor. And it's just this, just in this one, this one celled creature, the parts that it would have to have, all of them all together at the same time to even exist. And just you from the microscopic and all, I mean, if you could, you know, if you're germophobic, if you really could see all the germs around you, you'd really be freaked out. I mean, you know, there is all, just the world of that we can't even see is tremendous. But you take any area, you take the animals, any of the animals, the birds or the land creatures or the fish. I mean, it declares, the Bible says, it declares the glory of God. You take our human body. I had a friend in high school, Danny Luker, and Danny, we were tuba players. And Danny was a year older than me. But Danny, at that point, had in high school, he said he was an atheist. And I remember, I never heard what had happened to him. And I remember several years past in my adult life, how many of your classmates came out? That thing, you could look up your classmates, you could look up year and what high school. And so I thought, oh, I wonder what happened to Danny. And so I looked up Danny. And then somehow I got his number, found out where he was. I think he's in Florida. And I called. I thought, Lord, if you give me opportunity, I'm going to witness to Danny and just see what's happened. Anyway. And so I found him. We talked. And Danny said, so we were talking. He said, well, hey, I have to tell you. He said, in high school there, he said, remember, I just said I was an atheist. And didn't believe but we had a friend, Lawrence, that was going to be, he was going to go in the be a doctor and do that medical. And so Danny, for Lawrence's graduation gift, went and bought him a Grey's Anatomy, an anatomy book. And he said, I was looking at that when I was getting it for him. And he says, and I got to looking at just the human eyeball. And you understand our eye, just our eyeball, amongst other things, very complex. And he says, you know, as I got to looking at it, he said, that was my, and here's his word, he says, my first really God consciousness or my realization that that couldn't have just happened. Just looking at an eyeball. And Danny eventually said he came to know the Lord. But see, how we initially, now we know that there is something. Do we have the general revelation? All men, really, there is a something greater than you and I, something that has designed this great creation. And we can generally know about God through creation, but now specifically there is general revelation, but then there is specific revelation. And how do we know who this God that created all this wondrous creation, how do we know him specifically? Only through this book. That God that created everything, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the God that this book is all about. This is the specific revelation of that God that created everything. I can generally know about him through creation, but specifically, God has everything that we know about God is found in this book, the Bible. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, this Bible is about the Lord Jesus. Jesus is there from creation. When God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Well, John tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word, Jesus. He was there in the beginning. And Jesus is all the way from Genesis, all the way down through Revelation. This book is about him specifically. So if we're going to get to know Jesus, we've got to go to the source. And the source, the only way you're going to know God, the only way you're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ is through this book. But not only we see the source of this knowledge, but secondly, I want us to consider tonight the sufficiency of this knowledge. Is it sufficient? Listen, in our text here, he says here in verse number 3, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know, everything that we need to know to live this life, everything we need for life and for to live a godly life, and everything that we need in this world, he's given us, it says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto virtue and glory. Everything we need for life and godliness. You want to be ready for eternity? You want to know how you can be ready for eternity? Hey, here's the answer. It's in here. He's the answer. Husbands, you want to know how to love your wives? Your wife. Husband. All right. Husbands, love your... Yeah, anyway, you know. All you husbands loving your singular wife. All right. Let's be clear. And I'm tongue-tied. Anyway, where is it going? But hey, we know how to do that through this book. All right. I'm going to not go off my script here. No. But parents, wives, you want to know how to love your husband? Hey, it's right in here. Parents, how to raise your kids? Guess what? The answer is right in here. It's sufficient. As you know the Lord, he tells us right in here. What about dealing with my emotions? We talked about a little bit about that in Sunday school. How do I deal with anger or depression or all those the emotions that I have? It's right here. It's sufficient for that. What about the issues for society? I mean, all the craziness that's going on in society. We have the answer. It's here. It's sufficient. You know, the problem is many times we'll go to every other source for counsel. We'll go to everybody else for advice and, hey, how do you do that? Before we go to this, before we go to the Word of God. And this is the first place we ought to turn, because this has the answer, and it's sufficient for everything we need for life and godliness. Not only is it everything we need, it's sufficient for that, but it's effective. It produces the desired effect. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. hey, this is effective. You know, not every, you know, you try some things. I don't know, I like gadgets. And my wife will tell you, I like gadgets. I see it and I go, man, that'll work great. I think that'll, you know, and you know, you get a gadget and you think, this is going to really be neat. And it doesn't work like it's supposed to. It's not effective. It doesn't do what you think this miracle thing is going to do. And, you know, but this works. This book works. When we use it, when we use it right, it's effective. It's effectually, it works when we apply it. And it makes us, here he says it's effective, it's sufficient, it makes us partakers of the divine nature. Notice he says here, he says that he has made us, these might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. He says, by these, by what? The knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm a partaker of God's divine nature based upon the promises of God. How many know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know that's a promise of God? If I put my faith and trust, if I believe in Jesus, his work on God, if I believe that, he says, I'll save you. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. Hey, when somebody, when I call on God to save me, God says, if you call on me, I'll promise to save you. It makes me a partaker of that divine nature. I become a child of God. John tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that call upon his name. And it's sufficient, this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, this knowledge of the Word of God makes me a partaker of the divine nature. It's sufficient in its knowledge. But also, we see here in this passage the skills of this knowledge. Look at verse number 5. It says, and beside this, beside these benefits of the knowledge, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he goes down and gives this list of things that we are add to our faith. Virtue, and a virtue knowledge. To knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. This is sanctification. This is the us as we grow in Christ. You know, our hope program, the hope program is based on this passage right here, 2 Peter 1:5-7 there. And that's really those steps. If you go through the hope program, it's, I know it's advertised, it's an addiction recovery program, but really it's really a just intense discipleship program. I know we did that at Yakima Bible Baptist Church. I headed that up for a while. And that's an excellent just discipleship. And it goes step by step through these things that we're to add to our faith. You have, and those, that's could be just a message in itself. And let's just highlight some of these, though, and what they are. Virtue, to my faith, to that, putting my faith and trust in Christ. Once I'm saved by faith, now I'm to grow in the Lord. And this, the knowledge of God's word helps me to do that. And so to that faith, I add virtue. That's just doing right out of love for God. That's that moral rightness. It's me adding that I do right because I love the Lord. Knowledge, to that virtue I add knowledge. That's knowing what God expects of me. You know, God has some expectations on our life. You know, as a parent, I expect some things of my children. I expect them to do certain things or to behave certain ways or that I'm helping them as they grow in life. God has some expectations of us as his children. And knowledge is just knowing what God expects of me. Temperance is simply walking under the control of the Spirit so that I'll not walk in the flesh. It's the being Spirit-led, that control by the Spirit. Patience is just steadfast endurance. I'm to add that to that temperance. I'm to add patience, just steadfast endurance. Godliness. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, kind of in that time period, it gives this definition. It says, careful observance of the laws of God and performance of religious duties proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands, and is simply Christian obedience. Godliness is just doing what God tells me. It's just being obedient to the things that I find in the Word of God. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And it's like Brother Colin preached this morning, it's serving others just like Jesus did, especially my brothers and sisters in Christ, but really serving everybody. Galatians 6:10 puts it this way, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That brotherly kindness, that's that idea of just like Jesus taught, just like Colin taught this morning about the Lord Jesus, that being a servant, that's what brotherly kindness is serving others. And then charity, that's just Christ-like love. 1 Corinthians 13, we see that spelled out clearly, what charity is, what love in action is. So this is sanctification. This, we take that knowledge. This is the skills that I'm to acquire with this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, this knowledge of His Word. It's to do something. It gives me these skills, the ability to live a life that's sanctified, that's set apart from this world and set apart to the Lord. And I have the ability to do that through the knowledge of Jesus. And then finally, I want us to see the summary of this knowledge. You know, my knowledge of Jesus grows and begins to flourish, you know, I find you'll want to know Him even more. You know, it was the desire of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10. He said this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. The Apostle Paul, who suffered and preached the gospel, went around the world, you'd say, Paul, don't you know Him? I mean, he saw Him on the road to Damascus. But the more Paul served the Lord Jesus, the more that he knew of the Lord Jesus, we find him saying, I want to know Him even more. Oh, that I might know Him even more. That was the desire of the Apostle Paul. In the Old Testament, we have the example of Moses. Exodus 33:13. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, this is Moses talking to God, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses. I mean, God talked to you in the burning bush in the wilderness. And God gave you direction. God gave you all those signs and say, do this. And okay, go to Pharaoh and do it. And I mean, God's led you through the Red Sea there and all these things. And now he's there. He's gone up to the mount, got the Ten Commandments. And yet he's still saying, God, I want to know you even more. He wanted to see, God, show me your glory. And God says, well, I can't show you or you die. He said, but I will show you my back parts. And he put him in the cleft of the rock there and went before him. But then, he got to see him, just the hinder parts. Moses was so close with God, the Bible says the skin of his face shone. I mean, he was called the friend of God. But his desire, God, as close as he was, he wanted to know God more. You know, the more that we know Jesus Christ, the more you're going to want to know Him. Have you ever had someone that you really admired, you looked up to, and you thought, man, this person, they, in your eyes, really, they could do no wrong. You thought, man, this is, you almost think they're almost perfect. But as you get to know them, you find they have some shortcomings. You know, there's not a one of us here, we can look pretty good together. But you know, any one of us, if we spend enough time with each other, we'll find that, hey, we're not all perfect. We all have our little shortcomings. And the more I find, you know, the more that I spend time with you, and the more that you spend time with me, you're going to find some things. I probably do some things that would really bug you. And some of you might not have to look very far, but the more you get to know, you know, there's going to say, and you're going to go, there's some things that's terrible. You're going to find where my flaws are and my shortcomings and things that I just don't do right. The closer that we examine one, that's just how it is. But can I tell you, it's not so with the Lord Jesus. The more you know him, the more you examine him, the more, as John in 1 John says, that which we have seen and heard and which our hands have handled of the word of life. He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. John said, man, we heard him, we saw him, we handled him. I mean, we were, and man, he's altogether lovely. Jesus is that one that the more you examine him, you'll find the lovelier he becomes. I mean, there's no flaw in him. There's no disappointment. There's nothing that's wrong. When you really know the Lord Jesus, you can't help but fall in love with him. So the conclusion that we can come to is, the more I know Jesus, the more I get to know him, everything that I need for this life, everything that I need to live and to grow and to mature, I find in knowing him. And the more that I know him, you know what? I'm going to find I can trust him with every area of my life. I can trust him. You know, I find that the more you know about Jesus, you know, eventually, you know what? You don't have to persuade somebody to be a soul winner when they love Jesus. Because you know what? The more you know him, you'll want to tell somebody about him. You'll want to tell others. If you know him and you know how lovely he is, hey, I would want somebody else to know that too. You know, I find that when somebody loves Jesus, when they really know him, you know, you don't have to persuade somebody to sing about his name, to sing praises to him, because that's just something, that's just an overflow of the love of my heart for the Lord Jesus. You know, I was thinking as I was going over my message this afternoon and got the call that Brother Del Wayne had passed away. You know, I was thinking, if you've ever visited Brother Del Wayne, I didn't know him in his prime, I guess, or anything, but what I've understood from just even visiting with Brother Spencer is he would say, well, when Brother Del Wayne got saved, he got saved. He was a different person. But I do know that I heard he had a love for the Lord Jesus. And you know why I know that he did? Because every time I'd go over there, just the few times I got to be with him, as you'd leave, he'd say, how many of you visited him? If you left, what would he always tell you? Huh? Tell somebody about Jesus. He'd always say that. And even I was talking with Miss Novella this, I think, Friday, and she was laughing. She'd say, even the nurses, they, you know, he'd tell them, and they got to where they'd go, I know, we're going to go. As they were leaving, they go, we're going to tell somebody about Jesus, you know. But he'd always say that. Why? Because you know what? He knew him. He loved him. And you know what? You don't have to persuade somebody to tell somebody, to to want to tell others when they know him. So I'd ask you tonight, first of all, do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? With all the folks that we have here tonight, there may be some here that you don't know him. You've just heard about him. You've heard some things, but experientially, you've never met him as your Lord and Savior. So first of all, tonight, I'd encourage you to get to know him, first of all, as your Savior. He's your Creator. He's all of our Creator. He made us. But he can become your Savior when you trust him and call upon him to save you. He'll save you. So I ask you, do you know him tonight? And if you do, you say, well, I know him. I've been saved. Well, I would ask us tonight, how well do you know him? And you'll only know him by spending time with him. You know, relationships are built by time. And that's one of the things, Brother Dave, we've talked to just, you know, of us coming here. And I'm just looking forward to just getting to know. With some folks, we've already known, getting to know a little bit. I'm getting to know names. But, you know, we don't build relationships, whether it's on a personal level. Relationships are built with time and investing of time. And spending time with one another. And you know, it's the same way with the Lord. If I'm going to have a relationship with God, if I'm going to get to know Jesus, I've got to spend time with him. So I'd ask you, how well do you know him? Listen, he's the answer to every need that you have.